Welcome to XP Ministries. This recording is under copyright laws and cannot be replicated. This file is licensed for one user only and cannot be duplicated without written permission. We pray that this recording will bless and empower you.
All right, if you could turn in your notes to Lesson 2, New Creation Realities. This is, well, I'll probably say in every session, this is one of my most favorite lessons. But truly, the lesson on the cross is my most favorite, passionate message that I ever share, and I just love it. I could preach the cross every day, but this is kind of a continuation from that. And I know that that once you get anchored in the understanding on this lesson, you're going to be able to soar into places that you've never touched on before in the kingdom of God. And it's just a continuation from our lesson earlier. I wanted to feature a few items that will help you grow in this particular lesson. And one of them is this little decree booklet. It's called Decree. It says, decree a thing and it shall be established. And I'll share this a little bit more in the teaching, but what I found is when you decree over yourself who you are in Christ and what you have, the declaration builds a framework of the substance of that word over your life, and it's like a magnet. It attracts the reality and the manifestation of that in your life. So we have this. It's a little booklet. It's small enough to fit in most people's Bible. And you can use it to decree the blessing of the Lord over your life every day. If you were to decree the entire booklet, it would take you about an hour. Or you can do portions. And what I like to do is do some over myself and my family, but also over our ministry team, our intercessors and other people, because you can use it to decree over others as well. So that's the decree booklet. And we also have a decree CD, which is just raw word being decreed over you, where you can put it on in your home and listen to the word over and over, getting it inside of your heart and your understanding, getting it established within you, who you are and what you have. So I do some of the decrees, proclaiming them, and then Heather Clark wrote a few decrees for this particular CD that she sings over you as well. So that's the decree, and we have it for children. We have a special CD, and actually, to be honest with you, I like this one even better than the adult CD, because it stirs up the child in me. Every time I listen to this, I feel like the child that's inside, that's madly in love with Jesus, just surfaces, and it's got really good decrees for children, too, but especially the child in you. It's got ones like how wonderful you were made to be. You were created beautifully by God. That's out of Psalm 139. And you are blessed. You are favored. You're a heavenly child. You have invisible friends. You will always have everything you need. You are smart. You are a winner. You are loved and you have peace. And so we take the truth of the word of God and make it into decrees over children in a way that they can understand. And I know for our grandchild, he goes to sleep every night with this on. So he gets the word washing over him every night. And he's had angelic visitation in that already. And I believe it's partly because of the word is proclaimed toward that end. And also, this is a featured item I'd like to introduce you. It's called How Awesome Is This Place? And it's speaking about who you are in Christ, about the power of your spirit man and your spiritual nature when you're born again. How awesome is this place? Is this not the house of God? And you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it talks about embracing the supernatural and seeing his kingdom come in your life and about the person of the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of good teaching on that. And you can get that at the book table or online at our bookstore online. So there's a lot of other good materials there to help you grow in the supernatural. I just want you to know also that any of our product, anything with my copyright on it, my personal copyright on it, you are more than welcome to copy it. Not for commercial use, but for your own personal use and to pass out to your friends. Just feel free to get it out. That's our heart, is to get the word out there, because the word does not return void. It accomplishes everything that it's sent to do. So the more we get out, the better we like it, you know. And so you can help us. And then if you do it for us, then we don't have to do as much work. And that really helps a lot, too. So, okay. So just feel free to copy it. Just copy it right and make sure all the copyright, if you're going to copy the notes, notes and that, make sure all the copyright is on the notes that you copy so that when it gets passed on to others, they have the copyright in place. But you're allowed to copy. I give you permission to do so. Okay, lesson two is talking about new creation realities. And we're going to go a little bit further. In our session earlier, we talked about the cross and the importance of knowing the message of the cross, because that is the doorway into heavenly glory. The finished work of the cross has enabled us to walk into the heart of God, the kingdom of God. We have free access because of the blood and because of the covenant that God cut with man. He was God in covenant and he was man in covenant. He actually cut the covenant with himself so that it would be eternal and unbreakable. And therefore, all the promises of God are yes and amen to all of us who believe in Christ Jesus. When you are in Christ and Christ is in you, then every promise in the word belongs to you because it's part of the covenant package. So make sure you read what's in your covenant package so you know what is yours. How many of you have ever signed up for a program or something, and you know it's a program of benefits, and you paid for, you know, the program, and then afterwards you found out there was so much in the program that you didn't even know about, so you never utilized. I know for me that's the way it is with software programs. I only use what I absolutely need. If I'd read the manual, I'd find out that there's a lot more I could do with it, right? So read your manual and find out what's in there. But turn right now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass." Now, I want to highlight a couple of things there. Number one, you'll see that the scripture points out that we have three parts to our one person: spirit, soul, and body. But secondly, that the perfection of that and the maturing of that is the job of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of glory. And when you yield to him, you'll find that he'll do that sanctifying work and that perfecting work within you. And I want you to remember that the work of salvation is God's work, and we are to work out that salvation with fear and trembling. The working out is out of rest. It's faith. You work it out by faith. It's not by effort. It's not by striving. It's just by grace, knowing that he has done it all for us. And when we lean into him and believe in what he has done and what he has given, then that work becomes manifest. It's always about leaning on him. It's never about human striving. Now turn to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And it says, "Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And so what we have here is the creation of man, and you'll notice that God took physical substance. Now, I always like to say this, is that before the fall, you know, a lot of times we think of dust or dirt as like in a negative way. How many of you housewives especially, when you hear the word dust, you don't get, you know, flipped out happy inside? You know, it's like, it kind of has a bit of a negative connotation. You're always trying to get rid of it, right? Well, the problem with that perception is that if you hear the word about dust, especially if you've been formed from the dust, the perception could be, well, I'm just a piece of dirt, or I'm just a piece of dust, or whatever. So what I want to draw to your attention is that before the fall of man, when God created the heaven and the earth, everything was created in light. When he said, "Let there be light," there was light. Everything was light. Everything was beautiful. Everything was powerful. Everything was pulsating with the glory and with the power of Jesus, with the power of God. Amen? So when he talks about the dust, he's talking about glory. He's talking about glory particles. He's talking about, you know, I think maybe some of this gold dust is falling in these days is like a little taste of what it was like in the earth before the fall. It was all glorious. Everything was saturated with his presence. So when he took the dust of the earth, it wasn't something that we have a mindset right now think, oh, that dirt, oh, I'm just a piece of dirt. Oh, it's just a bunch of ugly dust that we're trying to get rid of. No. It's about this substance of glory that he picked up and he fashioned us out of that. Wow. Now, it was in the physical realm, so to speak, because he had created the heavens and the earth. So this was out of the earthly realm. So it was a physical substance, but it was glory substance. You understand that? It was absolutely pure and it was absolutely beautiful. And what he wants you to know today is that you are so beautiful and that you were created out of this glory and you were created for the glory. Not only were you created out of it, you were created for it. That's why you yearn for the glory of God, is because you're created for it. You were created from that substance. So everything in you is wanting it back again. Everything in you wants to live in that realm because you were created for it. So he picked it up and he formed you. Now that is your form, and you were formed and you were made in the image of God. The reason why you have two eyes is because God has eyes. The reason why you have nose and nostrils is because God does. You can read about that in the Bible. It talks about his different form. He has a mouth, he has hands, he has feet. You know, he has all those things. And you were formed in his likeness, everyone unique and individual, but in the general likeness, and he formed you out of glory substance. Then it says he took the form and he went like this with his breath. His breath. Breath, oftentimes in the scripture, when you read the word spirit, you'll see it means breath. But he breathed into this substance and he went, whew, and you became a living soul. So here we have a three-part being. Now, we're going to find later in one of our other teachings that God is a three-part being. He is spirit, soul, and body too. Okay, so we'll look at that later. But we'll see that God created us in his image and likeness, a three-part being, the spirit part of us being the life. The spirit part of man, whether you're born again or not, is the part of you that gives you life. A person's spirit man is the same appearance as their natural body because it lives inside. Inside of your natural body, your physical body, which relates to the physical realm, is your spirit man. And your spirit man, it has, you know, life down the arms too. It's not just a little blob in the middle of you. Your spirit man's not just a blob in your belly. Your spirit man, you have spirit legs. Inside these natural legs are your spirit man legs. Inside your natural feet are your spirit man feet. Inside of your natural arm is a spirit man arm. Inside your natural hands is a spirit man hands. Okay? So when you see someone in the spirit, they'll look just like they do in the natural, except they're spirit. All right? So that's why Jesus, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, they could recognize Moses and Elijah, because when you're in the spirit, you have knowledge of things. But they didn't show up as a blob. They showed up in form, okay? And so you have a spirit man form on the inside of you. When God breathed his life into you, you became, you know, alive, because the spirit gives you life. When your spirit, whether you're born again or not, when your spirit leaves your body, there is no life left inside that physical body. And so the spirit part of you is what gives you life. It's what gives you breath. This is very important to know, because later on when we talk about out-of-body experiences and stuff like that, you need to understand that the spirit remains inside of you as long as you have breath. So a lot of times the out-of-body experiences, we'll look at that later, but it doesn't mean that your whole spirit man just takes off, because if that were to happen, you would be expired in your natural self. But there's another dynamic that works there that we'll go into in another lesson and help you unpack that a little bit. Then it says, and man became a living soul or a living being. Sometimes when the scripture speaks of beings or individuals, it's referring to souls. And so the soul part of you, the soul part of us, is the part that relates to the relational realm. It's the seat of your personality. It's the part that houses your will. You make your decisions from your soul realm. Your soul is the part that makes choices in life. It also relates to the emotional dimension because it houses emotional faculties. It also houses your processing, your mental processing faculties, so that you can relate to God and to people. So anything to do with the relational realm is housed within the soul. So your body then relates to the physical realm. Your soul relates to the relational realm. And we often hear it's mind, will, and emotions, which is, part, of the operation of the soul. And your spirit relates to the spirit realm or the unseen realm. And we're going to study quite a bit about the spirit and the interaction between the spirit and the soul throughout this course so that you can understand how to experience the glory and how you can experience the unseen realm. So you need to understand how the dynamics of this works its way out. So you are a three-part being. You're made in the image of God. You are a spirit. That is your life that's on the inside of you. You have a soul, which is your mind, will, emotions, and you live inside of a body. All three parts of you are to give glory to God. All three parts of you are to be so yielded to the Spirit and to the glory that you emanate the glory everywhere you go. That's why Moses, even under the old covenant, when he had spent time with God on the mountain, he had so much glory on his physical body that he had to be veiled because, people just were blinded by the glory on his physical body. There was so much light. Can you imagine what the church is going to look like in the earth when we literally step into Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for your light has come. That's the glory. And it says the glory has appeared upon you. Can you imagine what whole streets are going to look like when the church walks down streets in that kind of glory? Now, I want you to get a hold of that vision because we're going to literally see this, maybe in our lifetime. But there's going to be a corporate release of the manifest glory of God in the earth because light belongs in the darkness. Amen? And the more time we spend in the glory presence, the more we'll radiate His love, His light, His character, and His being. So we want to get filled with His very nature, And I often explain it like this. It's like breathing, just soak in His presence, focus on Him, and oh Lord Jesus, you're awesome, and just keep your focus, and all of a sudden your soul and your body and everything gets submitted to His presence, and you get all nicely filled up. Now I want to talk a little bit about the born again spirit, the born again spirit man. And so if you could turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Actually, let's go back to verse 16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man, which is referring to the spirit man, is being renewed day by day. For a momentary light affliction... Oh, so sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 5, I was in chapter 4, 17. And let's go back to 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ?
Yes.
If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come, or all things have become new. Now, I met Jesus over 30 years ago now. And I remember the night that I was born again. I remember it as clear as the noonday. Because I was in such a struggle. I had been searching for freedom. I felt so evil inside. I didn't want to be evil, but I couldn't help it. Every time I tried not to be evil, I got more evil. I don't know if any of you were there, but that's where I was. And I was looking for help, and all in the wrong directions. I was pursuing all kinds of spiritual encounters, thinking that that might help me. And the more I stepped into things, the worse things got. And I just had no answers. And no one seemed to be able to help me. Every time I took a suggestion from someone, it seemed to make things worse. And finally, one night, I met Jesus. And I won't go into the whole story. I've got a whole CD on that, on the testimony of Christ coming into my life. But on the night that I met Jesus Christ, I remember saying to him, Lord, I don't have like anything to give you. You are so worthy of good things. You are so perfect, but I have nothing to give you except my junk. All I am is a pile of mess. And I said, but these people up the street tonight, they shared that you came into their life and you made them new. And you forgave them their sins, and I'd like you to come into me. Now, I didn't know if he would or not, to be honest with you, because I thought, well, their stories, I heard them, but it didn't sound as bad as mine, so maybe he has a limit, you know? I didn't know him like I do now. But he didn't hesitate that night, and I felt him come in. I felt him come in, and I literally felt him take my sin away. I felt all the shame and the darkness leave. And, you know, you don't have to feel anything to have a true experience, but in this particular case, I did. I actually felt his presence come in and take all the sin and the shame away. And I knew that I had done nothing to deserve it. In fact, if anything, I deserved hell, total hell, like all of us did before Christ. And I knew that I didn't deserve his goodness, but he came in. So my only response after that was to cry. I cried all night. I was so happy. I just couldn't stop crying. I thought, Jesus, you are so wonderful to love me this much. And I felt like I was brand new on the inside of me. How many of you felt that when you were born again, that you felt brand new? Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And I did feel that way on the inside. But when I got up off the floor in the morning, that was around midnight I got saved, and I stayed up all night crying and just rejoicing in the love of God. And in the morning, I got up off the floor, and I went into the washroom to freshen up, and I looked in the mirror, and guess what? All things had not become new. And I would have welcomed some change. But all things had not become new. In my physical body, everything looked identical, except my eyes were a little bit more swollen than they had been before I accepted Christ. But I had everything the same. My eye color was the same. My shape was the same. My weight was the same. Everything was the same. All things had not become new in my physical body. Now, for the first little while of being born again, I honestly don't know if I sinned in the first little while, because I just had so much love fill me that all I remember thinking is love, love, love. I mean, I just loved everyone and everything. You know, I couldn't think of anything but love. And so I'm not sure that I did sin in thought, in word, or in deed. I don't know if I did in the first few days. But then afterwards, I noticed that some of the same stinking thinking was creeping into my mind as it did before I got born again. So I realized that in my mind, in my emotions and my will, all things had not become new. So all things had not become new in my physical body or in my soul. So what does this scripture mean? If anyone is in Christ, that we've become a brand new creation, all things have passed away and all things have become new. It can't mean our physical body, and it can't mean our soul. If it means that, we're all in trouble. Because all things have not become new in those areas. But what it's talking about is our spirit man. Now, Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 6, when Nicodemus was saying, how can we enter the kingdom? And Jesus talked to him about being born again. In order to enter the kingdom, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus said, well, how can that be? I'm a grown man. I can't crawl back into my mother's womb. That makes no sense. How many of you know sometimes when you read the Bible, you read something and think, I don't get that. It doesn't make sense. Well, just ask the Lord to give you understanding, move on, and eventually you're going to get the understanding for that. That's what I found anyways. Or if you're really hungry, just go and inquire until that download comes. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So it is your spirit man that is born again. It is your spirit man that has become a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And when you study out of Corinthians, when you study out the scripture about the new creation, it means a creature that's never been around before. It's actually a real new birth has taken place the very moment that you receive Christ into your life. You are a brand new creation. Brand new creation. It's never lived before. It is your spirit engaged with Christ's spirit that makes you a brand new creation. It's like, you know, I like coffee a lot. I really love coffee. But you can pour a black cup of coffee and you've got black coffee, but the moment you put cream in it, no longer can you separate the cream from the coffee or the coffee from the cream. It's a brand new drink. You can't separate it anymore. That's what happened with your spirit man. Your spirit man, when it received Christ, you became a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, if you were to peel off your outer physical body, just kind of throw it off to the side for a while, peel off your soul nature, and look at your spirit man, you would look just like you, you know, as far as appearance goes, but you would be formed and fashioned and made in the image of Christ. You would have the character of Christ, the glory of Christ, all the understanding of the kingdom. All of that is inside of your spirit man. And your spirit man is inside of you. That's why Paul said, when you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Because when you're walking in your spiritual nature, your born again spiritual nature, you're walking like Jesus. Now, your spirit man knows things that your natural man does not know. How many of you have all of a sudden, you weren't even thinking about it, all of a sudden, up out of your mouth comes this statement of truth, and you thought, where did I get that from? I don't remember studying that. I don't remember thinking that before. How did that come out? How many of you have had that happen to you? Many of you have. Well, I've had that happen quite often. Sometimes even when I'm preaching, right in the middle of a preach, something will come out of my mouth and I think, that was really good. Like, I better take note of that, you know, because I need to learn something. You see, my mind didn't have knowledge of it, but my spirit does. And when your spirit's released, it just kind of gives your mind the understanding and your mouth starts, you know, releasing what's being spoken to it by your spirit man. You see? So your spiritual nature is just like Jesus. You know things about glory, about the glory realm in your spiritual nature that your mind doesn't comprehend yet. Your spirit man has in it the mind of Christ. Your spirit man is acquainted with heavenly glory. Your spirit man is right now acquainted with the unseen dimension. Because your spirit man relates to the spirit realm. The unseen nature on the inside of you relates to the unseen realm around you. So the more you strengthen your spirit man, the more you're going to walk in the reality of the unseen kingdom realm. Amen. And the miracle working realm. We need to learn how to live out of our spirit instead of out of our soul nature. Our soul nature needs to be renewed by the word of God. We need to have our soul nature, our will, and our emotions, and our mind line up with the truth of the Word of God. Otherwise, if you let your soulish nature lead you, it'll lead you into error every time, because it'll just go wherever it feels. If it feels good, it'll be fine. If it feels bad, it'll be miserable. If it believes this, it'll go here. I mean, it's just fickle, that soul nature. But your spirit man is absolutely precious and absolutely formed in the perfection of Christ, in the character of Christ, and in the mind of Christ. So I remember years ago, I was in a prayer time, and I go away for prayer at the end of every year. I go for a month of prayer, and I try to seal up what God's done in the year before and seek His face for what He wants me to bring to the body the next year. And so I go away and spend a number of hours every day with Him and studying and just having a wonderful time. I enjoy those times every year. And in this one particular year, I had been in the presence of the Lord every day for 3 weeks. But I was feeling dry. I didn't, you know, I couldn't sense that he was, you know, imparting anything fresh. It didn't seem like I was getting any revelation or anything. And I remember saying to him, in fact, I was bawling and squalling a little bit. I said, you know, do you want me to cancel all my next year's speaking engagements? Because I've got nothing fresh to give to the body this year. And I'm feeling really dry, and maybe I should just cancel everything and go into prayer for a year or whatever. And he spoke to me, and he said, no, I don't want you to do that. He said, I want you to definitely go out and minister next year. And I said, but I'm not feeling you, you know, and I'm not sensing any word, and, you know, I'm not going to have anything to say to the people, and blah, 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 you know. How many of you have those little bawling and squalling parties with the Lord? Oh, poor me, I'm not getting anything, I don't have anything, you're not talking to me, I'm empty, I'm dry, you know. And it was just feeling kind of dull, and it wasn't that it was an unfruitful season in my life. It was just in those 3 weeks, I just couldn't seem to get anything. In fact, I don't believe in having unfruitful seasons as a Christian. When you learn to live in the glory, you will never have a winter season. You will never have a season when you don't bear fruit, because in Revelation 22, it says that the trees bear fruit every month, 12 different kinds of fruit, and they bear all the time. And Psalm 1 says that if you are planted by the rivers of living water, you'll bear fruit always. You'll never wither, your leaves will never dry. So we don't really believe in dry seasons, you know. But anyways, this was a time when I just wasn't hearing from the Lord. And he said, I'm going to remove from you the feeling of my presence and the feeling of fresh revelation. I'm gonna remove it from you for a season. And I said, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. I actually like feelings, and I like the senses of his presence, and I love the sense of downloads when they come, and I like my mind to receive those things and feel the fun of getting some new insight. I like that. And here's God telling me he's just going to cut it off for a season. And I said, well, I don't think that's a good idea. In fact, I was wondering if it was the voice of the Lord at all. I was wondering if it was, if, you know, if I should say, get thee behind me, Satan, you know. But I asked him why. I said, why would you do that? And he gave me an answer. He said, because you're leaning too much. You're relying too much on what you feel. You're depending too much on your emotions. You're depending too much on what you can see outwardly and what you can feel within yourself. And he said, I'm going to teach you in this next season to learn to live out of your spirit, man, instead of out of your soul. He said, you live out of your soul too much. And he says, I want you to learn how to put your soul in submission to the spirit. And he said, I'm going to give you two keys on how to build up your spirit man. And he said, the first key is I want you to pray violently in tongues every day. And when you pray in tongues, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14 that you build up or you edify your spirit man. You edify your spirit. You edify yourself when you pray in tongues. So the more you pray in tongues, the more strengthened your spirit man will become, and the more defined it will become. If you want to learn how to live out of your spirit, then pray in tongues every day. And the Lord said, I want you to pray violently in tongues, fervently in tongues every day. Now, the problem is when you are feeling dull inside and you don't feel emotion and you don't feel passion and you don't feel inspired, it's really hard to pray violently, because violence is an emotion. It's like praying when you don't feel like it. When you don't feel inspired, isn't it hard to pray? Yeah. But we have to learn how to live with God, not leaning on how we feel. It's not according to the feeling of inspiration or the feeling of passion within us, but out of obedience to Him. So He told me to pray violently in tongues every day, so I would get up for an hour every day. I committed myself to praying in tongues violently. And I had to choose the violence or the aggressive emotion. I had to make my soul get violent. I say, okay, soul, you're going to get involved with this. And I didn't feel like it at all. I just did it because the Lord said, pray violently. And I felt, how many of you have felt like sometimes like you're a hypocrite saying, well, I'm doing this, but, you know, I'm just faking it. Yep. I told the Lord that one day. I said, you know, I just feel like I'm faking it. He says, you're not faking it, you're faithing it. Wow. And there's a big difference. And so I just continued that. And then the second key he gave me was he said, I want you to decree who you are in Christ every day. Because he said, you go on how you're feeling. If you feel like you're powered up, then you'll believe that you're a powered up Christian. If you feel righteous, then you'll, you know, believe that you are. But when you don't feel it or when you don't see the evidence, you lose sight of who you are. And he says, I want you to be grounded, living out of your spirit, man, because everything the Word says you are, you are. And everything the Word says you have, you have. It's not according to how you feel. You might not feel righteous, but you are righteous. You not might not feel forgiven, but you are forgiven. Yes. You might not feel strong, but you are strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. He says, I want you to learn to live out of the eternal truth of the Word of God, because that truth will show you who you are. Your spirit man is formed and fashioned and created after the truth, the eternal truth that is in Christ Jesus. And so he said, I want you every day to confess who you are and what you have. Now, again, my problem was, is when I went to make these decrees every day, I forgot. I wasn't inspired. And I felt dry, even though I'm not dry. I didn't realize that at the time. I just thought, whatever you felt, that's what you were. But that's not what the Word says. You are what the Word says. It's got nothing to do with what you feel. Your soul realm, your emotions can deceive you. But the truth is the truth. And so I would get up trying to, okay, God wants me to make confessions. Who am I again? You know, and I would forget. Nothing would come to my mind. So I went to the Word of God and I found all the scriptures and I wrote them all out. And that's what we've got in this little decree booklet now, is these are the confessions I read over that season. By the way, you know, a season in the Lord is different than the seasons that we have in the natural. I mean, a season to me means about 3 months, right? There's 4 seasons in a year, 12 months in a year. 4 into 12 goes 3 months. And the Lord said that for a season, that He was going to remove this, you know, all the emotional senses and stuff like that. So I thought, okay, I guess I can, you know, make it through 3 months. Well, it turned out to be almost a year. It was a long season. So I wrote out those decrees, and every day I'd get up and I would read them and choose to believe them, even though I had no feeling. I had no feeling whatsoever. I felt dry. But just because I felt dry, does that mean I am dry? Or I was dry? No. I was fat and flourishing in my spirit, man, because I was choosing to believe what the Word said, even though my soul nature didn't feel anything. I chose during that time to live out of my spirit. Now, I didn't choose it gladly at first. I bawled and squalled. I remember saying, oh God, I don't like this. I want my feelings. I want to feel your presence. I can't feel you. Where are you? Where are you, God? You know? And he had to remind me, look, I'm right here. Remember my word. I said, it says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Where am I? You know, okay, God, you're here. You know? And I would have to bring myself back to the truth all the time. And I remember one day, I had our intercessors had been in a prayer meeting, and they lived a number of miles away from me. And so the head intercessor phoned me this day and she said, oh, Patricia, we had the most amazing prayer meeting today. It was outrageous. The glory came. We started worshiping, and then the glory came, and every single intercessor was out in visions and visitations and encounters until like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And she said, whoa, can you feel that? She's talking to me. Can you feel that? She says, the glory is just so thick. I thought, no, I can't feel it. I can't believe you can't feel it. It's so thick. Whoa, I can hardly talk. It's so thick. But no, I'm telling you the truth. I can't feel it. So anyway, she was telling me, she went into great detail about every single person's encounter and all the wonderful things that happen. And of course, you have to choose to love that when you hear it. When, you know, right at the moment when you're feeling like the wart on the body of Christ, you know, and like everyone else is getting all the visitations and you feel like the Lord's passing you by. You know, it's like, oh God, you passed me by, you know. So anyways, I just got off the phone with her and I said, oh God, I'm so thankful. Thank you for touching all the intercessors and don't forget me, you know. And then I get a knock on my door and it was a friend of mine, Donna Bromley, and she'd been with Heidi Baker for 3 days. And she was standing at the door and had taken Heidi to the airport earlier and then went back for some quiet time and got blasted by God in her devotions. And so she's standing there like, whoa. She said, I've just had the most amazing time with the Lord and I just had to come tell you. I thought,
thanks a lot.
Thanks. So I had to help her up the stairs, but we got her up into the living room and she started sharing the encounter and you know, in between her, whoa, ah, you know, and she said to me, can you feel the glory? It's so thick in here. And I thought, no, I don't feel anything. She says, you've got to be able to feel it. It's so thick. She said, let me pray for you. So she grabs a hold of my head and she's, oh, Lord, release the glory, release the glory. And she says, can you feel that? I said, no. All I could feel was your shaking hands, you know. And I said, no, I can't. So she left and I was feeling sorry for myself. And I said, oh, God, have you departed from me? Oh, God, you know, everyone's getting the glory, but you passed me by. Oh, God, you know, because I couldn't feel the glory. And the Lord spoke to me in the still small voice, just in thoughts. And he said, you have, there's no feeling with it. I want to stress this because a lot of you have been in a lot more glory than what you realize.
Amen.
There was no feeling that came with this. It was just a little cold thought. And he says, you've got as much glory as they do right now. You just can't feel it. Does not the word say, the glory the Father has given me, I've given unto you? Does not the word say, I'll never leave you or forsake you?
Yes.
Does not the word say, I'll be with you to the end of the age? How much glory do you want? And all of a sudden the light went on. I thought, I've got as much glory. Oh, Lord, I worship you. Now, I didn't feel any different. I didn't shake. I didn't get laid out on the floor. I didn't get any burnings in my hands or anything like that. I just felt like nothing in the physical realm, and I felt nothing in the soul realm, in the emotional realm. But I knew that I was in the glory because I believed I was in the glory. The Spirit of truth imparted the revelation of truth. And when I accepted that, it brings the reality of the substance of that promise into my midst, whether I feel it or not. And that's what the Lord taught me to live in for one whole year. 3/4 of the season through, I remember saying to God, God, I don't care if I ever feel anything again. I'm going to live my whole life according to truth.
Amen.
I want to live out of my spirit. I don't want to live out of my soul. I don't want to live out of the orientation that my physical body gives or my emotion gives. I want to live out of my spirit. I want to live out of that place that you have filled, out of that new creation where old things have passed away and all things have become new. I want to live out of the reality of who I am in you and what I have in you. I want to live out of the reality of the glory realm of the heavenly dimension of what it says in the Word of God, irregardless of how I feel.
Yes.
And I tell you, I got excited about it. I was watching people get blasted, falling on the floor, shaking, trembling, all that kind of stuff. And I was feeling nothing and couldn't have been happier. I wasn't trembling, shaking, rattling, rolling. I was standing, not lying out. And I couldn't have been happier. Why? Because I believed. Because I believed in the reality of the truth. You see, fact is temporal, but truth is eternal. It might be a fact that you don't feel the manifest glory of God, but the truth is His glory has been given to you. And the Lord had to teach me to live according to the eternal realities of the glory rather than according to the fact which was temporal. Are you going to be a fact person or a truth person? I want to commit myself to the truth, to living in the truth. When you live in the truth, you'll live in the heavenly and the divine realm all the time, because that's what your spirit man is attached to. Your spirit man has been made in the image of Christ. All things have passed away. All things have become new. And so you live in the reality of that, and you make your soul and your body line up. Now, the more you do it, the more experiences your soul and your body will have.
Wow.
But whether you do or not doesn't change anything on the inside, because you make a commitment to live in the truth. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I started confessing, I'm the head and not the tail. I might have not felt that way that day, but I was, because the Word says, said I was. Amen. Lord, You meet all of my needs according to Your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I remember that time God had put it on our heart as a ministry to host a conference, as it was our first big one of the kind. And the budget for it was $250,000. And I was a little bit overwhelmed in my mind. But the Lord says, did you hear me? And He kept going back. And every time I thought, yes, Lord, You said, and He said, all your needs will be met according to My riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Are you in the glory? I said, Your Word says I am. I don't feel it, but Your Word says I am. He says, you stand on that. And it all manifests. $250,000. Manifest for the glory of God. And people still to this very day are talking about that particular conference and the impact on their life. I didn't feel anything. I went through that whole thing feeling nothing. But I knew I was in the glory. And the glory manifests as far as all the needs met. You see, when you get a hold of the truth and you live in the truth and you don't compromise that truth, you'll start to see the manifestation of the glory in the life around you. That's why I love the Word so much. You got to get to read your covenant. You read what's inside of this covenant, because it's all yours. It's yes and amen. The secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to you and to your children. They get imparted to your children, and they don't even have to work for it. Automatic transference. One day your child will wake up and bingo, they got all the revelation you had. Why? Because the Word says so. You stand on that. Whatever you take by faith, it's yours. That's another lesson, but we'll give you a little glimpse into it right now. New creation realities. Who are you and what do you have? You are made in the image of God. You've been called to live in the glory dimension. You've been given all the promises of God are yes and amen unto you. That is who you are in Christ. That is new creation reality. You have to believe the Word over the natural circumstances. I hear people all the time, even after sitting through a glory school, I hear people say sometimes, oh, if only I could get into the glory. I feel like I want to give them a glory bump. What are you talking about? You are in the glory. But your faith has to connect to it, because it's only by faith that you'll connect to the reality of what's already yours. Do you know that Jesus already died for the whole wide world? He already forgave the whole wide world. When He died on that cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't say, Father, let's see, forgive that one, and that one, and that one, and that one, and that one. No, He forgave everyone. But is everyone going to experience forgiveness? No, why? Because they have to appropriate it by faith. There are so many unclaimed promises in here that the people of God live in poverty, they live in sickness, they live in weakness because they have not embraced the promises that are them. Mephibosheth was a covenant son because of David's covenant with Jonathan. And yet he lived as a pauper. When David finally found out that Mephibosheth was alive, he sent someone for him and brought him back, and he lived in the king's palace from that time on. But at any time, if Mephibosheth had to realize the covenant that David had with his father, he could have lived in the glory of God. He could have lived in the glory of the king, in the king's palace. It's all about knowing what your covenant is. You need to understand what is yours and then go for it. It's yours. God expects you to go after it. It's what you were made for, and it's who you are. Now, I want to throw out your notes. There's a lot in there about who you are as a covenant child, what you have, and there's a non-exhaustive list there to get you started. But I want to talk for a little bit about the functions of the spirit, soul, and body in the context of spiritual encounter. Because I think sometimes people don't embrace spiritual experiences because they don't understand the dynamics of the way the spirit, soul, and body work. Now, as we said earlier, you are a spirit. That's a born-again part of you. If you're born again, you've got this born-again spirit man on the inside of you that's connected with the glory realm already. It's connected with Christ. It's one with Christ, one with all the promises. It's got the mind of Christ inside that part of you that's already developed. And there's no sin. Did you know that there's no sin in your spirit man? In 1 John chapter 3, it tells you all about that. You cannot sin because a seed abides in you. Well, I don't know about you, but in my mind I've sinned since I became a Christian. Most of us have sinned already today because that which is not of faith is sin, right? So it's not talking about your soul realm or your body. It says when you cannot sin, it's talking about your spiritual nature. And anyways, that's your spirit man. Now, your spirit man relates to the spirit realm. Your physical realm, or your physical body relates to the physical realm, and your soul relates to the relational realm. It's how you relate to God and to people. I think that's clear, right? We relate through our thinking, through our emotions, through our choices. Now, what I want to share with you is how, even though we're a three-part being, we're one person. So I have, my name is Patricia. You're looking at the body of Patricia right now. I have a soul. It's the soul of Patricia. I have a spirit. It's the spirit man of Patricia. It's all one person. But three different parts with three unique functions. They function differently, every part. And all these three parts can function independently of each other at the same time. I want you to understand this because when we go into spiritual encounter, it'll all make sense to you how it can happen. And I'll give you an example. You can be washing the dishes, which is a physical exercise. Got a sink full of dishes, soap, everything, water in there, all that physical substance, and you're in there washing the dishes. You don't even have to, most people don't even have to think about what they're doing. It's like automatic pilot, right? The body just kind of goes for it. Okay, so we've got the body is washing dishes. Now, when you are a seasoned dishwasher, you don't have to focus with your mind on what you're doing. In fact, your mind, which is part of the soul, can be thinking about something else. At the same time, the body's washing dishes. So my body can be washing the dishes, and my mind is enjoying thinking about going to Starbucks after I finish the dishes and getting a nice latte. And, you know, and my mind can be reviewing all that, right? In fact, when I think about it, my emotions get ignited. And I get really excited about going to Starbucks and having a latte. What I'm trying to show you here is your physical body can be doing one thing at the exact same time that your soul nature can be operating in a whole different dimension. There's no Starbucks coffee place where I'm washing dishes. It's just a sink with dishes. But in my mind and in my emotions, I can be engaged in something totally different because those two parts of you can operate independently of each other. Now, at the same time, my body is washing dishes and my soul realm is enjoying a latte. My spirit can be engaged in something else again. My spirit can be praying in tongues. It says in the scripture, when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. So here I am washing dishes. My mind and emotions are thrilled about the Starbucks. And in my spirit, I'm going, so there I am doing three functions, spirit, soul, and body, independently of each other, but it's all me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, this is very important for you to realize this because sometimes in spiritual encounter, people say, well, how can you be in heaven and on the earth at the same time? How can you be experiencing the third heaven realm, the throne room realm, when you're in the room here? How can you be transported to China, but your body's here? And it's because all three parts of you, the spirit, soul, and body, can function independently of each other at the same time in the same person. Does that make sense? Now, to develop that thought a little bit further, let me give you an example. A number of years ago, I was in my room. You know, we were staying in our little trailer here. We used to go and have that as our prayer place. And a friend of mine was with me, and we started, just fellowshipping that. And in the midst of the fellowship, I received a phone call from a friend of mine, Donna, up in Canada. It was her daughter phoning me that said, my mother, Donna, is in the hospital. She just got taken in. It's an emergency, and they've done some tests on her, and they've diagnosed her with a pulmonary embolism. Now, I know that that's serious, and I'm very concerned. I felt the prayer burden right away. And I started praying, but I just wanted to get out of that little trailer and just go storm on the streets or something. So I invited my friend to come with me. We grabbed our coats, and away we went down the main street of Mesa, just storming. And I was praying and contending for my friend to get healed supernaturally, for the intervention of God to go and to bring healing to her. And I was claiming the promises, saying, oh God, you know, let your glory fall on her right now. Let the glory of your healing come to her in Jesus' name. And I'm praying the best I knew how, according to the promises of God, intermittent with tongues. And my friend was, and we were storming down Main Street. Every once in a while, we would get these, what I call glory surges. That I don't know if you've ever done like the crunchies where you just go, whoa, you know, and you kind of stop and you go, whoa. And I didn't care what people were thinking if they were driving by, you know, like I was focused. Now, in the midst of this, all of a sudden, this scripture comes to me out of Ephesians 1:3, came to my mind. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And the scripture just flooded into my mind, and I thought, wow, well, healing's one of those spiritual blessings, and I was getting faith to pray another prayer for healing. At that moment, all of a sudden, I went into what is called a trance vision. Now, a trance vision is like a vision, but you're inside of it. You're inside of the experience, and all of a sudden, in this visionary encounter, I'd stopped on the street. Now, I was aware that I was on the street in Mesa. I realized that. My understanding, my soul understanding knew that I was on the street. I could hear the cars going by. My physical body was there. I had stopped and I knew that my friend had stopped and I was going like this. I said, whoa, you know? And there we were on the street, my physical body there. My understanding, my natural understanding in the soul realm was aware that I was on the street. I could hear everything going by. I knew that I was there. But in my spirit, I was in a totally different place. And I remember feeling like I was almost floating into this realm. And I saw in this trance vision, spiritual blessings, thousands, endless numbers of them floating around in this realm. I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I knew that these were spiritual blessings. How did I know? When you're in the realm of the spirit, you just know things that you were never taught in your natural mind. It's hard to explain. It's just that your spirit translates to your soul's understanding spiritual truth. And you just know that you know. I thought, these are spiritual blessings. Also, I knew which ones were which. I knew the blessing of righteousness, the blessing of peace, the blessing of joy, the blessing of prosperity, all the different ones. And it wasn't like they were tagged with names. You just know things when you're in the realm of the Spirit. You have the mind of Christ, so you know things that you wouldn't know ordinarily. And so your natural mind, or the soul part of you, is receiving input from the Spirit so that you can have understanding. The soul part of you is what gives you conscious understanding. So when you're in a spiritual encounter, your spirit man has to quicken your natural understanding so that you can engage. Does that make sense? So I was in there and I knew all these different blessings, and I saw the healing blessing. And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me to take that blessing to my friend Donna, who was in the hospital in Vancouver, British Columbia, which is about 1,500 miles away, I believe. And when the Holy Spirit spoke that to me, I came into agreement. Now, when you're in the realm of the Spirit, oftentimes at the moment of agreement, it happens. Maneuvering in the Spirit is as quick as a thought away sometimes. And so the Holy Spirit said, take this healing blessing over to your friend Donna. The moment I came into agreement, I was in Vancouver. Wow. And I was in the hospital room and I saw her. I was in the Spirit. She couldn't see me. I saw her in the natural. In the bed, I saw her lying there, and I remember releasing, by faith, this healing blessing. I remember releasing it. How do you release something in the Spirit like that? Well, it's by faith. I don't know how you know, you just know that you're releasing it. It's like a faith gesture. And so the moment I released the blessing, I was back in Mesa, and I was very conscious that I was standing on the street, you know, like this. And I said, whoa, to my friend. I said, you'll never guess where I was just now. I said, I was in Vancouver and Donna's healed. Donna's healed. I know she is. And I said, how? I said, well, because I was there. Because I released the healing power of God into her. Well, we finished the walk and it was in and out of more revelation and stuff like that. And it was an interesting walk, you know. Whoa, 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 you know. And finished the walk. And about an hour later or so, after we're back, I get a call from Donna's daughter. And she said, I want to give you an update on my mother. They all of a sudden, the symptoms just left her. And so they're running some more tests. But on all the preliminary stuff they just did with her, you know, vitals and everything, it looks like she's going to be okay. So they're going to keep her in overnight. And if she's still looking good in the morning after the test results come back, they're going to send her home. I said, oh, she'll be home. Your mother's healed. I know, I was there. She said, what? I said, I don't know how to explain it. I was just there. You know, your mother's healed. And so anyways, the next morning, sure enough, Donna got released out of the hospital and she was fine. Now, what had happened was that there was a spiritual encounter. There was my spirit, my soul, and my body were all functioning in different ways, all at the same time, independently of each other, but all working for the glory of God. Amen? Does that make sense to you now, how that can happen? Here's another one. Back in about, I think it was around 1996 or something like that, Ron and I had been on the road, and we had come back and we wanted to meet with some friends and see what they were sensing from the Lord as far as revelation for our area. So we phoned a lot of them and invited them over for the evening. And as I was preparing for them coming over, like trying to make coffee and stuff like that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, When your friends come, he said, I don't want you to share anything. I don't want anyone to share anything unless I lead them to. He said, I just want you to sit and wait on me. But if I lead you to sing a song, then you can sing a song. If I lead you to pray, then you can pray. If I lead you to release a revelation, you can. But I don't want anyone doing anything. I just want total submission. So when my friends came over, I shared with them what the Holy Spirit had said. And they were all, of course, eager for posturing themselves in that way. So we sat around, it seemed like forever, with nothing, just waiting on Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, someone got a song or a prayer or something, and it kind of started, and then there was more inspiration. And then this unique thing started happening. We started getting the lightnings of God come into the room. Visibly.
Wow.
Now, we were in a basement room, like a big rec room area, and all of a sudden, inside the house, lightnings came. Big, big lightnings. And that's another testimony. But anyways, we get through all of that. And then, you know, we were going to maybe take a break. And one of the guys that was there said, hey, let's just wait a little bit longer because I don't think the Holy Spirit's telling us to break, even though the presence had waned a bit. And he said, let's wait because God's going to give us more. So as we were waiting, all of a sudden, I felt this bubbling up of tongues. So I started releasing the tongues. And instead of praying, it was like preaching in tongues. And it was like in a Asian dialect, like a Chinese dialect. That's what it sounded like to my ears. And then I noticed that everyone else in the room started releasing these tongues also in like what sounded like Chinese dialect. And then I went into another one of these trance visions. Now my body was in that room. But in my spirit, I was in Mongolia. And in the first part of the vision, I actually saw the natural landscape of Mongolia. And there was a village there, and I saw the people, and I would identify that village. If I were to ever go to that village, I would be able to identify it because it was like real life, like it was in the natural, I saw it. Now, when you're in a spiritual encounter, you can go from one type of encounter into another type within one experience. And so I went from that into another visionary encounter where I was in the second heaven, and we'll discuss that at a later session. But I was in the second heaven, and I saw a dragon, a very large dragon. It was kind of muddy green in color. And I was above this dragon in the second heaven, and I had this understanding. And again, when you're in the realm of the spirit, you know things that you were never taught. But I knew that this dragon was the principality over that region in Mongolia. And it was holding that region in bondage. Now, I could still hear myself preaching in tongues. It was a very strong preach. I didn't understand in English what I was saying, but it was like in this Asian dialect, and I was just, I could hear myself. I was in the room still doing that in my natural body. That's where I was, in the room praying in these tongues. But in the spirit, I was in Mongolia, now in the second heaven, looking at this dragon. It was right underneath me, and I could hear the words that I was saying back in the room. You see, in the spirit realm, there's no time, distance, or anything like that. It's just all one sometimes. It feels like that. And so I was in this room and praying. In my spirit, I'm in Mongolia, and I see arrows. It was like almost like the words were like arrows hitting the dragon, and I saw it wince. It was going like, whoa. Just like that. I was wincing every time a sharp sound would come out of the tongues. And then in the vision of this dragon, I saw it fall. And then I went from like a third heaven area down into like a vision that was over this village, not in the natural now. It wasn't the natural vision, but it was like a vision in the spirit. And I saw the dragon fall, and it went like this. And it was dead.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, I just slew a dragon. Now, doesn't that sound like something out of a fairy tale?
Yeah.
But it actually happened.
Yes.
See, when you're in the spirit like that, you have to remember this is not just like a figment of a fantasy or something like this. This is spiritual reality. These things are actually happening. So this dragon fell down, and then in the vision I saw all the people coming out of their houses and praising Jesus. So in the vision I knew, I had this knowledge that there was going to be a harvest in Mongolia because something shifted in the spirit when the Mongolian dragon came down. And so anyways, it was a while later, I can't remember now, maybe 1 to 3 months later, I get this newsletter in our mailbox that I had not received any newsletters from this ministry prior to this. In fact, they're good friends of ours now, but I didn't know them at the time. And right on the front page of the newsletter was a story about revival breaks out in Mongolia. And about this great harvest of souls. And when I checked the date that they went over, it was the same time that we'd been praying.
Yes.
So that in the realm of the Spirit, that had shifted, you see. So what had happened is a physical body was in one place, but in the spirit was engaged in something else. You see how these things can work together? And then the soul realm, it's used to translate, so your spirit man can translate to your soul what is happening. Whenever you get understanding in your mind of something that's happening, it's because there's a translation into your soulish understanding. Your spirit man is experiencing things oftentimes that you don't even know about in your conscious mind. I sometimes have had people tell me, you were in my dreams and you prophesied over me. You know, and I was probably just, you know, sawing off logs in the night and having a wonderful time, but my spirit man was at work. You see, so your spirit man is engaged in all kinds of things that your conscious soul part of you doesn't understand. But when you do have understanding in your soul realm, it's because there's been an opening of that portal between your spirit man and your soul to give your soul understanding. The more time you spend with the Lord, the more awakened your soul will be to the realm of the Spirit. And it starts with understanding who you are. You know, a lot of Christians just wait, oh, if only I could have a spiritual encounter. Oh, if only I could have God show up. Oh, if only God could land. Oh, if only I had him do this like so-and-so had. Look at you, you don't need anything that so-and-so had. You move into the fullness of what God has for you and move into it according to truth. You know, if experience doesn't come to you, you go to the experience. If you see an invitation in the Word, it's for you. And the more you move into it, the more you'll engage in it, the more you'll experience. Kingdom realities. When you are walking in the glory, you live in the glory realm because of what the Word says. Your spirit, your soul, and your body are all to submit to the eternal truth of the Word of God. You build up your spirit man in the Word of God, and you'll find that you'll have more and more encounters. But even if you don't have an encounter that fuels your physical body or fuels your soul, makes you feel all ooey-gooey and all that, it doesn't mean you're not having encounter. The encounter is still with you. It's just that you're not feeling it in the physical realm or in the soul nature. But if you're believing for it, then it's yours. Do you understand the way that works? We'll teach you more about that tomorrow when we talk about faith and how to connect to the realities of the glory into the manifestation of your physical life around you. But live out of your spiritual nature. Now, there's one more thing I want to cover just before we end, and that is the war that goes on between your redeemed nature and the carnal nature. Now, Paul talked about this in Romans 7. He says, I've got this dilemma going on. He said, the things I want to do, those are the things I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those are things I do. And I've got this war going on because I want to do all these neat things for God, but then I've got this contrary thing going on. He talks about sin in his members and all that. How does that work out? Well, when you're born again, your spirit man is given that new nature. So you're perfect in your spirit man. But there's a different law working in your members, in your soul realm and in your body, that is at enmity against the spirit. How many of you know that you've got a nature that fights against your real nature? Right? Now, the beauty of that battle is this. You only get to fight it inside the realm of time.
Oh, yeah.
You only fight that battle inside the realm of time. Paul said, who's going to deliver me from this dilemma that I'm in? He says, praise be to God, Jesus Christ. It's the life of Jesus. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It's Jesus who's delivered me. So when you live in faith, according to that eternal perspective, then there's no room for that eternal nature to fight against the spiritual nature. You see, if you always choose Jesus, if you always choose that grace level, then it subdues that other level. Now, when you pass out of time and you no longer live within this realm of time, you will never again have the opportunity to prove your love or your faith for God as you resist the temptation of that nature. You'll never again get to prove your love for God in that way. You are left with this wonderful opportunity when that nature fights against your spiritual nature. You say, yes, this is the time I get to prove my love to you, God. Never again. You know, after I finish this life, I'll never get to do that. But now I get to do it. And you never again will get to know the pleasure of the victory like that. Because in heaven, there's no resistance. Only in this realm of time will you ever sense resistance. So it's the only time you can get the feeling of the victory like that. And you get to co-labor with the Lord for it. So when you get that resistance where you're, you know, I have people all the time say, you know, it's just so hard. Sometimes, you know, I want to do the will of God, but then I feel this pressure coming against me from the devil or from my own soul or whatever, my carnal nature. You know, it's so awful. I said, no, rejoice. It's awesome. You get to fight it. You get to feel the victory. You get to prove your love. You get to show yourself and God and all the witnesses in heaven how much you love the Lord. It's awesome. It's a great opportunity. Now, it's there in your members. It's not in your spirit man. Remember that. Your spirit man's already free from that kind of resistance. But it's in your members. It's in your soul and it's in your flesh. Every time you get to subdue that, because you're a co-laborer with Christ, every time you say, Jesus, you already conquered this. I'm crucified. I'm going to reckon this thing as dead because your word says so and it's dead. Then you will bring your soul and your body into line with your spirit. When your spirit and your soul, I mean, when your soul and your body get in line with your spirit, it's spelled out like big time power. That's when you're going to start to see the church arise and shine. You see, right now, we have a church full of people that don't live out of their spirit. Church is full of sin. Why? Because we live according to the soul dimension or the carnal flesh, and we give into it and we yield to it all the time. That's why there's a powerless church. You can't live on both sides of a fence. I mean, you got to choose the kingdom or you got to choose your carnal flesh. Which one are you going to choose? You can't live in both realms. But what you're allowed to do, what you are privileged to do, is to choose to live in the Spirit in everything that Jesus did to redeem you and to give you this heavenly life. And you choose to live here so that when this thing fights against it, you conquer it. You bring it into submission to what you're walking in and standing in. And then you get more and more and more of your soul and your body get filled with the essence of the glory. More and more fruitfulness. More and more breakthrough. More and more everything. You see, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. You know, you can't say, oh, I'm a great man of God or a great woman of God and then go out and sin like the devil. Their two natures don't mix. You choose one or you choose the other. But if you choose your life in the spirit that Jesus has given you and you subdue everything that comes against you, that's why Paul says, who's going to deliver me from this dilemma? Because he was having problems himself doing it. He says, Jesus. And he remembered Jesus and the nature Jesus had given him and then realized, this isn't me that sins. This is sin that dwells in me. And this is conquered by Christ. And I'm going to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, it works with spiritual encounter that way, too. Because if you lean to your own natural part of you, your natural part of you is saying, you're getting nothing. You're being passed by God. You're no good. You can't have this. You can't have that. You know, you sat through a glory school, and you never got nothing. Everybody else got a gemstone but you. That person next to you got diamond glitter, but you got nothing because you are nothing, you know? And you start believe that, and you'll start living in your flesh instead of conquering the flesh by the Spirit of truth. Does that make sense? So when we submit ourselves to the truth, which is the glorious eternal essence of the kingdom realm, then we'll have more and more of that manifest within our midst and our experience. Woo! Give the Lord a big clap offering. He's good, isn't he?
For more information about Patricia King and XP Media, visit us online at xpmedia.com. We look forward to building relationship with you. xpmedia.com.